Hey everyone, welcome to the Sustain the Range podcast. I'm Lauren, your host, and this podcast is a personal exploration of my experiences in everything ranching. From beef operations to training horses to sustainable farming and regenerative practices, we'll cover it all. Each episode features enlightening conversations with guests who bring their unique perspectives and expertise. Whether they're seasoned ranchers or first-generation farmers, we all share a common bond and deep appreciation for the land and the livestock we raise. Tune in each week for engaging discussions, inspiring stories, and practical insights from the ranching community. And let's embark on this incredible journey together. Hey everyone. I am here with another episode today of this podcast. I'm so excited to be here with you all today because I am going to be talking about overcoming those fearful moments that we have and seeing fear as a friend instead of letting it stop us from doing something that we love. Why did I want to talk about fear today? Fear has been coming up a lot for me lately, whether it's been fear in life, whether it's been fear working with my horse, or thinking about the past experiences that I've had that I've let fear get the best of me. And before I really go into all of it, I just want to say that fear is a good thing. You know, we all have it. It's in our innate nature. It helped us long, long, long ago to have fear to run away from that saber-toothed tiger, as I'm sure you've all heard that example before. But now we live in such a different society where we're not running from saber-toothed tigers anymore. We are inundated with so many other things in our lives, whether it's job, work, relationships, and things that we want out of our life. And fear can come in a whole set of ways. If you've had bad experiences in the past, which everybody on listening to this, I'm sure has, if you had traumatic experiences, you know, a lot of those things that we go through in life, fear can come up in them, and fear comes up in the moment, and fear comes up, 10, 20, maybe 30 years later. So I really wanted to talk about fear today and bring it back to me personally because I've been dealing with a lot of fear lately. I've been dealing with a lot of uncertainty in my life. I've been, you know, really praying to God to help me through these really tough times that I'm going through. And I think, I'm not sure if I had mentioned on the last podcast, but I had gotten laid off from my job a few months ago, and there's been a time now where it's been really uncertain about trying to find another position, and all the uncertainty of that, and financially, and thinking about future, and really having a chance to think about what it is that I want to do and what I want to create in my own life. And I've had some great job prospects so far, which is awesome, and you know, I'm just moving through it. But every day the fear comes up in me of, oh my gosh, you know, how am I going to be saving for my future dreams, or, different things like that, that we've all experienced fear, I'm sure, every day in life. I mentioned in my previous episode that I lost my mom. She was one of my best friends. I lost her about 12 years ago now, and it completely changed my entire life. And I have a lot of fear and trauma around losing someone that I love. It was very unexpected. She died of cancer. She was sick, and 9 days later, she was in the hospital, and she was gone. And it was a very traumatic experience in the hospital, and I think that I will save that for another episode, just because I'd love to kind of talk to you all more in detail about that. For those of you who have lost loved ones, and especially parents or parent-like figures, that your whole world just completely turns upside down. And so I've really had to manage my anxiety and my fear responses when I feel like my mind gets the best of me, or I start worrying about something else, something happening to one of my family members. So my brother, I have a younger brother, or something happening to my dad. And one of the things I really wanted to kind of talk about an example today is bringing it back to horses. You know, I learned so much from horses every single day, and they have taught me to overcome fear more than I could have imagined. And when I say overcoming fear, and I should really say instead of overcoming fear, because I don't think that we can ever overcome fear completely. I know that there are certain things we can do, you know, like overcoming our fear of spiders, or, you know, overcoming our fear of certain things that have happened, traumatic experiences. And I do believe that that's possible. But I also think that we can be kind to ourselves and realize that sometimes those fears might never go away. But how can we work with them? How can we navigate them on a day to day when they do come up for us? For me, I know I struggle a lot with the fear of the unknown, and I have to lean on my faith and lean on God in those moments and trust that He has a plan for me. When I feel really fearful about the uncertainty of life or uncertainty of relationship or job or living, you know, where I'm going to live or if I'm in a state of transition, you know, I really have to lean on God. But if we can start looking at fear as a friend and not the enemy, I think that that's something that we can start inviting into our lives more. And instead of being afraid when those fearful thoughts come up, how do we move through it? So one of the examples that I want to give is even when I've talked about, you know, working with some wild Mustangs in the past, and getting into that round pen with the wild Mustang for the first time is pretty scary. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know how they're going to react. And having that courage to get in there, despite the fear, I think is something that we all have in us, whether you're working with a horse or whether you are applying for a job, whether you are, you know, asking for a raise, whether you are asking someone out, whether you are telling someone that you love them for the first time and you're afraid, you know, to be rejected. I think that's something we all have inside of us. And I really want to talk about how we can move through those moments where we still go and do the thing anyways, but don't let fear stop us. So when working with the wild Mustangs, you know, in the past, it's something that I really wanted to do. I love horses. I wanted to learn how to train wild ones. And mainly for me, I was doing it for the horse because they mean a lot to me and they've changed my life. And the horses that we were training, I wanted to give them the best training possible, however I could, so that they could be adopted out to a good home and not end up back in a holding facility or not end up in the slaughterhouse. So when I had my why, and that's one of the things that I really want to talk about, is when you have that fear of something, but you really want to do it anyway, you have a strong why behind it. Why am I doing this? Why does it mean so much to me? Identifying your why first and foremost is such a huge part of this, because when you have that solid reason behind why you're doing it, it's a little bit easier to move through the fear, even if you're scared shitless, excuse my language. Even if you are so afraid that something terrible is going to happen, how do you move through those moments when you just want to stop and not do it? And then you start to come back to, well, wait, why am I doing this? And what's in it for me? What's in it for the person or the animal that I'm working with? So identifying when those fearful moments come up, okay, why am I doing this in the first place? Secondly, why deceptive at times? Our fear could be completely irrational, and not that that's a bad thing. We just have to work with that irrational fear. So whether you are afraid, so for instance, I will give the example, you know, going back to the horse. There's a lot of times when I work with the horse or even when I ride that I'm really afraid that I'm going to get hurt or that I'm going to get bucked off and get real, real hurt. And I've had to carry that with me for a long time, but I'm still stepping in the round pen and I'm still getting on different horses, and I'm getting on my own horse more so now because I'm able to have more time with her to train at this point in my life. And I still have to get on because one, my horse deserves my time. Two, I want to build a better relationship with her. And three, I love it. I love it so much. Because I know that when I do get on for a ride, or when I am working with her, whether it's riding or whether it's doing groundwork, I still am having the time of my life. And I really want to try to bring this back for you all, because sometimes it can be hard for me to explain, and I'm sure for other people too, you might have felt this way. You know, some might ask, well, how do you move through the fear? Well, it just happens sometimes, you know, but I think for me, I have such a strong reason behind it that my fear acts as just my little friend that sits on the side of my shoulder that says, you maybe shouldn't do this. Be careful, or be really, really cautious. Something really, really bad could happen. And I just have to say, you know what? And tap that little leprechaun on my shoulder. You know what, buddy? It's okay. I'm scared too, but we're going to do it anyway, because what I'm doing right now means more than my worries and my anxious thoughts of what is potentially going to happen. And just as a side note, you know, I think for anybody that's working with horses, our biggest fear is always getting bucked off and getting really hurt. My biggest fear has been getting bucked off and potentially getting paralyzed. And I've really had to work through a lot of the times where I've had to tell myself that that's a fear. And yes, if that happens, then you know what? I'm going to be able to handle it no matter what. And that's where I really have to lean on my faith. And two, just because I get bucked off or just because something might go wrong doesn't mean it's going to be fatal. Maybe I get bucked off and then I get a little scratch and bruise. I recently got bucked off about a month and a half ago now, and it was pretty scary. I'm not really sure what happened. I was getting on a pretty green horse, and she, as I was swinging on before I could get my other foot in the stirrup, she reared up and then she bucked and threw me way, way over her head, way over the saddle horn. I landed almost on my head. I kind of landed on my shoulder first, and then I really hit my head. And it was pretty bad. It could have been a lot worse, but I was out for a solid three, four weeks and then I didn't even ride for another, month and a half, almost 2 months. I had a concussion, had a lot of bruising, was super, super sore. And I remember a lot of people asking me, you know, after that happened, oh, are you going to stop training horses, or are you going to stop working with horses? And I said, no, you know, I didn't. And I didn't feel like I wanted to, because they are such a huge part of my life that coming off like that, I know that my body can heal. And I understand, you know, when that there's some pretty fatal accidents, especially in the horse world. So I am not trying to, you know, sit here and say that anytime you come off a horse, it's going to be great and it's going to be fine and you're going to heal up and everything's going to be dandy. No, there's some really serious things that can happen. It's a really dangerous sport. But for me at this moment in time, I had really been having a fear of getting bucked off before. And it's really interesting how sometimes we can kind of call things into our, environment. And I do think that maybe one of the reasons why I did get bucked off is because I was a little nervous, and I had been thinking, at the time there was a few people around me who had really gotten hurt with horse accidents, and it was a span of, you know, 4 weeks or something, where I had heard of, you know, three or four people getting really seriously injured, and it really brought up a lot of fear in me. Oh gosh, you know, that might happen to me. And you know, as I looked at these different people and watch them go through a healing process, it made me feel better. However, when I did get bucked off, it was almost like it was for me, okay, it happened. Yeah, it really sucked. I did not like going to the emergency room. I did not like, you know, being sore. My concussion was pretty bad. And I really had to heal and take the time to heal. But what it allowed me to do is have more confidence in myself and in my own body that I'm going to heal, and really lean on my faith at that time too, and know that God's plan was all working for me at the time, as it always is. So I think when we kind of go through some of those experiences, we can build some confidence from them. And just talking about this one instance, you know, the next time that I do come off, if I do, you know, we, as horse people, we never want to come off, but we know that the inevitable might happen, and that it's going to be okay. And no matter what happens, but the worst thing that we can do is, one, let the fear stop us from doing something that we love, and two, carrying around that fear so much every day that it completely overtakes your mind, it overtakes your body, and you're not even fully present. So I have really tried to work a lot at managing my mind and managing my emotions, and I am nowhere near great at it. I'm working on it every day, but I've really tried to just manage my emotions around this. And when I do swing on, and the first time I swung on after that accident that I had, it was pretty scary. But I, for me, when I move through things quickly, it kind of helps. So, and before I kind of get into this example, I first want to say, you know, that we also have to listen to our intuition. And especially if you're working with animals, you know, listening to that intuition. If you don't feel ready to get on, or you don't feel your horse is ready to get on, listen to that gut feeling and listen to that intuition. There's no need to ever push yourself beyond what you feel your limits are, or beyond what you feel is comfortable at the moment. So you have to find that really fine line of, is it the fear that's stopping me from swinging on? Or am I just kind of at that point where, oh, it's a little uncomfortable, I'm a little afraid, my horse seems okay, I am scared, but what do I have in my pocket to know that I'm going to be okay? So for instance, my horse, I've ridden her a ton of times, we've taken her out backcountry. She's a really solid horse. And she's still young, we still have a lot of training to do, but I know her and I trust her. So that first time that I swung on, I was not only putting my trust in my horse, but I was putting the trust in me that no matter what she does, because she's still an animal at the end of the day, and she still has a flight or fight mode, and no matter what she does, I can handle it, because I am trusting myself and I am trusting her. And I think that when we bring that confidence, especially to our horses, it can really change the game. So that moment when I was just getting on and I just put my foot in the stirrup, and just a little backstory of this, my partner and I moved our horses to another ranch recently, and I have not ridden my horse in about 3 months. It's been wintertime. She's been sitting a lot. I've worked with her a lot, you know, a little bit with groundwork here and there. But I have not completely saddled up. I've ridden her bareback a couple of times in a very small space, but I haven't saddled her up and swung on since my accident. And it was really scary. There was a time, so I saddled up, and you know, I'm feeling myself get a little anxious, and my horse, we brought her to the ranch, and it was the second or third day that she was in this new place. So she was really nervous. She was seeing all new things for the first time, and it's a new area, it's a new space. There are other horses there that she doesn't know. And she was all really anxious. But I had to really step into that moment of, you know what? Even though I'm scared and even though my horse is scared, I'm going to get on because I want to be that leader for her. I want to have that confidence for her, even if she's scared. And I'm still going to trust her because I trust her in all of the other times that I have worked with her. And she has proven to me that she's a really solid horse. That doesn't mean that she doesn't do anything crazy sometimes. That doesn't mean that she doesn't give me some attitude or, you know, try to avoid or do things that, you know, a horse does. But she really is a solid horse. And I needed to be that confident person for her at that moment. And I needed to be that confident person for myself. And I needed to prove to myself that I can get back on and that I am doing it, not because I'm trying to prove to myself that I can get back on just to do it, but I'm proving to myself and I'm allowing myself to see that, you know what, I love this. I don't want to stop doing it. So how can I take that fear and bring it into the saddle or let my foot swing over into the saddle on the other side, get that foot in, sit down on the saddle, get in there, get comfortable, and still be really shaky and nervous at the same time. So, you know, I had a moment where it was very much a kind of a little bit of a trauma response because I remember exactly where I was standing in between two gates. There were other people around and I put my foot in the stirrup and I, you know, got up or shot myself up to get up over into the saddle. And about the midpoint, I felt this huge wave of like, oh my gosh, because the last time I did that, the horse reared and bucked and threw me at that very moment, right before I could get my foot in the stirrup. But what I had to do is instead of really letting that moment stop me, I just had to go with the flow. And the flow was me putting my foot in the stirrup, me getting up there, swinging that other leg over, getting my foot into the other stirrup and getting down in my saddle, getting hold of the reins and taking a ton of deep breaths after. And that's what I did. I sat in the saddle for a solid, I don't even know, maybe 5 minutes. And I just sat there and I just breathed. I breathed in, I breathed out, I breathed in, I breathed out. And I really tried to calm my nervous system. I tried to calm my brain because it was a really scary moment for me. And at the same time, I'm also trying to manage my horse's anxiety because she hasn't been ridden in a while and it's a new place. But I know that she can handle it and I know that I can trust her. So I think that kind of example that I'm giving is how can we move through those fearful moments where we just put our foot in one stirrup and swing on and put our foot in the other stirrup to get where we want to go and to do something that we love rather than letting only putting one foot in the stirrup and getting almost up there and then midway getting down. And letting that fear stop us. How do we move through it? And for me, I kind of another example that I'm still working with. And as I was kind of prepping for this podcast, I was thinking, it just randomly popped into my brain about the time when I was younger and my family had taken us up to the White Mountains in New Hampshire. And we had hiked up to this really, really cool waterfall. And there was a lot of people around. There were, you know, just a ton of families, a ton of kids, and there was a super, super, really a pretty, I don't even know, maybe 15, 20 feet, 20 foot high waterfall. And there were kids going down it, and it was a very cool little water slide. So you kind of walked like way, way up past the waterfall, and then you could get in the water and you could slide down some rocks and go through some little alleyways where the stream was flowing, and they almost create like these little water slides in the rocks because of the water, for the water pressure over time, it digs into the rock. So it was really, really fun. And then you kind of came to a point where you could either stop or you could let yourself go, and then you would fall, you would catch that waterfall and you'd fall off and, you know, go off the cliff and into this huge pool below you. And I remember going up there and my family, my mom, my dad, my brother, we were all there. My brother was way too young at the time. And I think that from what I can remember, I was probably about 8 or 9 at the time. I could have been maybe 7 years old, possibly, but I was around that age. And I remember going all along the slides a little bit, and my parents kept saying, you know, go, go, go. And there were kids going off the waterfall one after the other. And not to say that it was a really safe thing, but it was, and it probably wasn't that high, actually. It might have not been super high, but it was a pretty good drop. We'll just say that. And I remember seeing all these kids going off of it, and it looked so fun, and they all, you know, dropped, they went into the water, went off the rock and dropped into the pond and were swimming and having such a great time. And I just remember standing there and watching them all and being like, wow, that just looks like so much fun. So I kind of walked back to where you would get into the water and kind of go down the slides, and I went down the slides, and then when I got to the point of the waterfall, I kind of put my feet out, all four, my hands and then my feet, and I stopped. And I remember feeling the water rushing on my back and kind of hitting me and, you know, that pressure. And my mom and my dad were both like, go, 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 you know. And then there was other kids, you know, yelling, screaming, come on, come on, you can do it. Just let go, just let go. And I stopped and I pulled myself out. I felt so scared at the time, and I didn't know why. I was really thinking, you know, why wouldn't I be, you know, I'm such a daredevil at other things. Why am I so nervous about this one? But what I most remember is all of the people cheering me on and telling me to go. And then there was something inside of me that said, nope, 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 nope. And I bring that example up because there are so many times when I think we really have to listen to that intuition. So going back to, you know, what I said earlier about making sure that you're listening to that intuition. And if there's something that's really telling you no, then you got to listen to that. I never did go down the waterfall. I tried 2 or 3 other times and I never went down. And I remember, you know, so this is 20 years later now. Or, yeah, sorry, if I was 7, it's more than, it's about 30 years later. But that image always sticks with me. And I think about it often, you know, every so often, because it was a time where, one, I felt like I had, if you were looking from the outside in, it looked like I was really scared to go down and that I didn't do something that I knew I would probably enjoy or knew that I probably would have fun doing. But the more that I think about it in my adult years, the more I realize, you know what, that little girl was right. She listened to her gut. She listened to her intuition, and something told her not to go down. And I would love to do, and I will do another podcast on listening to the intuition and your gut feeling, because I think that we hear that so much in today's world. Oh, listen to your intuition, listen to your gut. But it's not that easy for some people. And I'm really working on developing mine, and I've come a long way. And there are certain scenarios that I've had pretty recently, you know, over the last year or two, where I've really had some clear signals from my intuition and from my gut, and then some not so clear signals. And I'd love to do another podcast on kind of sharing with you guys on how I'm really developing it and continuing to strengthen it, because I think it is one of the most powerful things. So anyway, that was a little bit of a tangent, but I then think about, how can we move through those fearful moments, putting aside our gut and our intuition? So how do we differentiate from it? Well, when your gut and your intuition is telling you something, for me, I get a whole body feeling. It's a feeling in my stomach. It's a just a strong pulsating emotion that just says no, 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 or something's not right, something's not right. But how do we differentiate that from the times that we are coming into contact with those fearful moments that are fear from the anxiousness and the worry and the what ifs or the fear of rejection? So I think that one of the things that we can all do is think about yourself or something that you're really, really afraid of right now. So I will continue to use the example of my horse, because after I did get on that day, we rode out into a pasture and one that she has never seen before. There's a bunch of cows on it, and there were other people with us, all brand new horses. They were all pretty fresh. You know, it's springtime here, so a lot of these horses may not have been worked with a lot over the wintertime. And I was still scared, and I'm still trying to breathe while I'm riding, but I'm still a little nervous, you know? So I want you to think about those times that you, or something that you're really fearful of right now. For me, my fear was getting bucked off at that time, or my horse, her name's Kiwani, my horse being a little anxious and really, really fearful because it's all a new place. And oh my gosh, she might do something crazy that I've never seen her do before. So I want you to stop and really just close your eyes, take a couple deep breaths. And really think about that one thing that you might be afraid of right now, or something that you're afraid to do, but it's been on your mind. And whether it's something that you really want to do or something that is really a scary thing. So whether your fear of is rejection, whether you are afraid of starting a business, whether you are afraid to ask your boss for a raise or to put you on a different project, what is that one thing that is really scary to you right now? And next, I want you to think about where that fear might be coming from. Is it a fear of rejection? Is it a fear of the unknown? You know, oh no, if I do this, I have no idea what's going to happen after that. Or I don't know how this will change my life. Or I don't know how this might change a relationship that I have. Where is that fear coming from? And is it a very real fear? Is it a fear of, you know, for me, a very real fear is getting bucked off and getting hurt. That's a real fear. Or is it the fear of you might be wanting to tell someone you love them for the first time, and that really high, high response in you that says, oh my gosh, if I tell this person that I love them and they don't say it back, I'm going to feel terrible and I'm going to feel extreme rejection. And you know, identify what it is for you. So after you've identified it, how can we kind of put a little mental list together? Okay, so for instance, if it's a really real fear, what are the things that I can do, or what are the bullet notes that I can have in my brain that tells me, you know what, I do have this fear, but what are the things that I can tell myself or that are factual that will help me push through this fear because it doesn't have as much power over the thing that I really want to do. So for me, my fear of getting bucked off again, I'm not going to allow that to stop me from riding my horse. I'm not going to allow that to stop me from working with my horse, because my horse deserves that time. My horse deserves to be able to go and do fun things because she really does enjoy it. And she really loves going on trail rides and doing things. And how can I, again, put together that list? So for one, I've ridden my horse a lot of times. I've taken her backcountry trips. No, I really didn't work with her a ton in the winter time, but you know what? I still have to get on and have to take that first step before I let myself say, well, she hasn't really done a lot in the wintertime. I haven't ridden her a lot. I'll try tomorrow. No, I'm going to try today because I still have to take that first step. to get on. And the other thing is that, you know, I trust her, even though she's still young, even though we still have a lot of things to work on, you know, I have to trust that I can handle anything that she might throw at me. And another, you know, the fourth note would be that I have to be that confident leader. So right now, my fear is not going to be so strong where it's going to stop me from being that confident leader that I need to be for my horse. So say if it's, you know, a really real fear, for example, for my example and for my horse, or it's an example of you want to tell somebody that you love them for the first time and you're super afraid of being rejected. So what are all those things that you can have a mental note in your brain that, oh gosh, I don't want to say this to him or her because I'm really afraid that if they say they don't love me back, I will feel really rejected. Okay, well, why would you feel really rejected? Well, what does it mean if they don't say I love you back? What meaning are you attaching to it? Is it because you won't feel worthy? Is it because you won't feel good enough? Is it because it brings up a past experience where you have gotten rejected in the past? You've asked somebody out on a date and they've said no. What are those things? What are those fears that you've got there that you can work through? Okay, well, if they do say no, or they say, you know, I'm not really sure I feel that way about you. Okay, well, how can I still believe that I am good enough to hear that from someone and not let it take me down? Where my worthiness comes from is not from somebody else saying that they love me back. Is it amazing to hear that from someone? Of course. Is it amazing to feel that, have that mutual feeling for one another? Of course. It's one of the best feelings in the world, right? But that doesn't define who we are at the end of the day. So what are the things about you that you love? And what are the things about you that, you know, even if you hear a no, or even if you hear I don't really feel the same way, what are those things in your life that you really, really do love about yourself and all of the amazing things that you have going on in your life? And even if you can't think of a laundry list, think of one or two things about yourself that you really, really love and hold on to those. And even if you hear something that you don't really want to hear, you know what? The meaning that I am taking from that interaction does not define who I am. And, you know, sometimes when I think, when I'm working with a horse or when I'm working with my own horse and she does something that we've either gone over before or I've taught her or she's just not listening, you know, why, when I attach meaning to, oh, she didn't do this right, or oh, she's nervous, she's a little herd bound to her buddy, well, she must not trust me, or she must not like me, or she must not, I'm not a good trainer for her. You know, we convince ourselves all of these things, and no, the only thing that I'm doing is attaching a meaning to what she's doing. Where when we can step back, and especially with animals, we can say, you know what, this animal's being an animal. I shouldn't be taking it personally. She's an animal. She's in a new space. She's a little unsure of things. She's only 2.5, she'll be 3 in May. She is still a baby. You know, she's still young. So all of those things that I can think of in my mind to allow myself to not attach a meaning to it is what I can really focus on in those moments. So I think that, you know, sometimes we let the fear stop us, and I know I've done this many, many times in my life where I don't take that first step, and I know how hard it is to take that first step when there's something that you're really nervous about or something that you really, really want, or you really want to see for your future. You want to build that dream life. You want to start a business, but every day you talk yourself out of it. How can we push those thoughts aside and just take that first little step? And I talked about it a little bit in the previous podcast of just taking, putting one foot in the other, one foot in front of the other. And I will go back to another waterfall example because, funny enough, about four years ago, I did a month in Thailand. I did a yoga teacher training in Thailand. And one day when we were off, me and there was about seven other people in the program that I was in, we all jumped in the car and we took a drive up into the jungle and did a really cool jungle hike. And the guides that were with us told us that there was going to be a little bit of a cliff jump that we had to take to get back down. So we got to this point in the hike where we could either go left or right. And if we went right, it would take us all the way back down to where we started. If we took a left, it would bring us kind of up the mountain a little bit more. And then we'd have to jump off this cliff into this big, big pond. And they said, oh, you know, it's beautiful, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And funny thing about me is I am actually a little bit afraid of heights, and only in the sense that when I can see the bottom, it makes me scared. I've gone skydiving and paragliding. I've gone paragliding once or twice and then I've gone skydiving twice. And I love skydiving. I think it's so much fun, but I cannot handle if I'm on the edge of a cliff or if I can see, if I'm really, really high and I can see below me, it freaks me out. And I have no idea why. It doesn't make any sense in my own brain. But for some reason, if I can't see the bottom where I'm going to land, then I'm okay. But if I can't see the bottom, I'm terrified. So anyways, we all decided to take a left and we go up this big, big mountain. It took us another like almost 2 hours to get up there. And then we come to this opening and oh my gosh, it was beautiful. There's all of these rocks, the water, the sky, no clouds in it. There's all of these jungle trees. We saw monkeys on the way up, saw huge, huge spiders, which was kind of terrifying because they were the size of like a large mirror or something. They were huge. And gosh, it was amazing. It was so, so beautiful. And we were so high up that you could see all of the other mountains, in the distance, and it was just beautiful. So as we're getting closer to the edge, I'm starting to, you know, say to people, oh, whoa, like we're pretty high up, you know, and we're walking and finally we kind of get to the edge and I look down to the edge and it's a completely like dead drop. So you looked over into the, when you finally got to the edge, it was just a straight drop and it was really, really high, probably 30 feet high, maybe even a little bit higher. So I start freaking out and I'm like, oh my gosh. And it brought me back to the time in New Hampshire when I was on that waterfall. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this, but then it's going to be almost a 3-hour hike down. It was about like 3 o'clock at that time. So I had to take my time and I had to watch everybody else jump off first. And so there's one person that's going and, you know, all my friends in my program are looking back at me, you want to go, you want to go? Cause they knew how nervous I was. And there was kind of this little part, if you step down a couple of rocks, where it would get you a little bit closer to the bottom, but you pretty much had to hang on. There was only enough ledge for like both your feet and you kind of had to hang on to the sides of the rock with your fingers. But it made me feel better because it was a little bit, it wasn't as high. And the only thing about that part though, was that you had to really kind of launch yourself away from the rock because if you look down, the rock kind of protruded out a little bit below. And if you didn't launch yourself far enough away from the rock, you were going to hit it on the way down. So this is kind of like one of my worst nightmares. and I didn't, we, the guides did not kindly let us know how big of a waterfall it was. However, we were there and I was in the scenario. I didn't want to hike all the way back down. I didn't want everybody else to wait for me for 3 hours. So, you know, I watched everybody else go off, and even though it doesn't sound safe, you know, it was relatively okay. It wasn't completely treacherous where it was like, oh yeah, you might die. Yeah, you could have maybe, but it wasn't so bad where it was just completely insane if you were to jump off of it. There was a lot of people that did it, and you know, it was okay. And again, not to say that just because everybody did it that you should do it. However, I felt enough confidence in me that I could kind of throw myself off of the cliff and get down in a safe manner. So I see one of my, another friend go off and another friend jump off, and they're all great. They're all swimming below me and they're all trying to cheer me on. Come on, come on, come on. And I start having an absolute panic attack. I feel like I couldn't breathe. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, I can't do this. And then one of the guides ended up kind of climbing one of the rocks and made his way back to me up to the top somehow. I have no idea. And he was like, come on, come on, you know, we got to go and you can do this, you can do this. And I was so afraid at this moment, but there was a part of me that said, if you don't do this, you might really regret it. And you're going to have to walk 3.5 hours on the way down. And I really didn't want to do that. But it was at that moment where, even though it wasn't this intuition that was saying, don't do it. It was this, oh my gosh, my fear mode kicked in. And oh my gosh, what if something really bad happens? And I might be a little bit of a daredevil at times. As I've gotten older, I'm not so much anymore. I wouldn't do that for fun, having to go back there again. But I just remember hanging on to that rock and being so afraid, but just having to tell myself, you know what? We've just got to jump. And whatever happens, happens. And I just remember looking up over those mountains and taking really big, deep, deep breaths and saying, okay, I've got this. And you just got to push your, I went through all of my brain of how I was going to push my hands at the same time away from the rock. I was going to, you know, kind of have my feet in a certain position to really push myself off of the rock. And, you know, the guide's kind of standing near me and kind of helping me through all of it too. And I remember they counted to 3 once and I didn't jump. And then they counted to 3 again and I didn't jump. I had to take a few more. I mean, this was probably about a half an hour to try to get me off this thing because I was so nervous. So the very, very last time, I just remember being like, okay, you've just got to do it. Like you can't let this stop you now. And I think sometimes when we put ourselves in the position of having to do it or having one or two options, you either do it or you don't. Or sometimes putting ourselves in the position of, I've got to do it. I have no other choice. And I'm not telling anybody to go and jump off a 30-foot waterfall in Thailand to prove to yourself that you can do it, or to put yourself in a situation to jump off a cliff that's potentially dangerous, could kill you just for you to be feel confident. No, I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that I think if sometimes we put ourselves in a place where we don't have another out, or you know what, I set my deadline to start this business, or I set my deadline to leave work because I am miserable at my job, and I set this date and there's no looking back after that, and I'm gonna leave and I am gonna trust that I will figure out any next steps, and I am gonna trust that what's ever going to happen for me will happen, and that life's working out for the best for me, and that God has a plan here. And I think that that can be, I know sometimes I work really good in those sort of moments because I don't have that option to not do it. And if we can kind of really work with the option of not doing it, but also the option of how can we move through the fear and have it as our friend still, and still have that little leprechaun on our shoulder who is really fearful and is really scared, but allow ourselves to make sure that we are still doing it and we're not letting it stop our lives and not allowing it to be so big that we don't follow through on our dreams or don't follow through on something that we're really, really passionate about, or an experience that will be forever a memory. And so back to my story, I did end up jumping off. I was terrified. Like I said, I probably would never do that again. I'm not into that stuff anymore. But am I glad I did it? Yeah, of course. And all of the fears that I had, yes, if something terrible happened, you know, that would be something that I would have to work through. And just because you're thinking of something and, oh my gosh, what if something terrible happens? In the next sentence saying, if something does, I will be able to handle it no matter what. I have been through struggles before. I have been through really, really hard times, whether physically hurt or emotionally hurt. And I've made it and I can move through it. It doesn't feel good. It feels painful. It feels emotionally taxing. It feels downright like shit. But if I can allow myself to still do it anyway, then I will be on that next step and that next point in my life where I'm going to find that joy and fulfillment, and I am able to handle whatever is thrown at me or whatever happens. So I think that when it comes to those fearful moments, or when it comes to having fear as our friend, that fear allows us to still be human, and it allows us to work through those moments and still have that little bit of caution with us, you know? And that's a good thing. And we always want to have fear, you know? And that's where I was kind of going back to, you know, maybe we don't ever overcome our fear completely, but we can still work with it. And that fear can give us just the boost that we need to move to that next level. Because if we didn't have a fear, maybe we wouldn't do it. Or maybe if we allowed that fear of rejection or that those feelings of, oh, I'm not good enough, really take over us, then we wouldn't do it. So having that friend to say, oh, you shouldn't do this, but knowing that you have to, you don't have to, but knowing that you can move through those moments only builds more confidence in you to be able to put more trust in yourself. And that's what I think about every time I get on my horse, you know. And yesterday I took her out again, and, you know, new ranch again. It's the second or the third or fourth day that she's been there, the second time I've ridden her there. And she was still pretty nervous. You know, she's trotting and she's trying to go back home and she's really nervous. And I just kept telling myself, you know, we can do this. We can do this. And I'm trying to have her move some cows and trying to build up her confidence that, you know what, we don't have to be afraid. It's okay for us to be over here alone, and you don't have to be near your buddy. And do I still have a ton of work to do with her? Of course. But each time that we saddle up and each time we get out there, that is me building trust and building confidence in myself and building confidence in my horse. And we are both learning together. So whether you are with a horse or whether you're with an animal or whether it's just you right now, where are those moments that you can still move through those fears and not let it stop you? And how can you take those fears or those, you know, factual fears or those not factual fears, and what I'll just call, you know, worries and anxieties? How can we put those away in a little glass jar for the moment, still put them in our backpack and still carry them with us, but not allowing ourselves to open them while we're in the middle of the moment, or not letting it take over our lives or that moment so much where it stops us from doing something that we really love. So one last thing I will leave you is, I think for me in those moments, I just have to push through. It's almost like I think of myself as like a bulldozer, where a bulldozer just goes full steam ahead. If you want to use a different analogy, that's not the most eloquent analogy, but you know, that bulldozer just kind of goes straight through stuff, and it's, you're not thinking about anything. It's got a job to do. We're going straight down this path, and we've just got to make it through this big brick wall. So how can I go full steam ahead with still being cautious, but also pushing through it at the same time and not thinking so much where I'm completely talking myself out of it? And I think for me that seems to help a lot is when I can just bottle those things up, put it in my backpack. And you know what? We're doing this now because I love it. I want to do it. I want to build confidence in myself. I want to build confidence in my horse. I don't want this fear to overtake me right now. And even though it's going to still be there, I know that I can still move through it and I can still have a good time doing it and doing what it is that I love to do. Or, you know what, when I do come up to that person, I want to tell them that I love them for the first time. And even if I'm thinking it's going to go so bad, or I'm so nervous, oh gosh, they're going to say no. Well, you know what? What's going to happen when they say I love you back? What amazing feelings is that going to introduce? And how am I going to feel when that happens? So predicting, you know, the good of it and the bad of it. And, you know, sometimes I work better when I don't think about the end result. So I like to always think about and plan ahead in my brain. Okay, if I do this and this something bad happens, okay, then I can do this and then I can do that and then I can do that. No, because we overthink and then we don't get anywhere. And it's all just worry and anxiety that's coming out from it afterwards. So instead of thinking all down the brick road of, okay, this, and this, okay, if this happens, this happened, and making yourself feel better when you think you have a plan of when it goes bad, how about just take that one first step and know that even if you just do the thing, no matter what comes after that, really awesome or really bad, I'm going to be able to handle both. And even if it's bad, I'm going to be able to handle both with grace and kindness and love for myself no matter what. So I hope that helps a little bit. If you guys have any questions or want to talk a little bit further, you can reach out to me on Instagram. I'll put all of my contact information, social media channels, and even my email. I'd love to hear from you all, and I'd love to know if this helps and what other topics that you'd like to talk about, or stuff that you're struggling with right now, or the ways that you might be moving through fear and how it's helping you, what strategies you are using. So anyways, I hope you all have a wonderful day. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk soon.